Perhaps the most important thing to know is I am a poor Black boy from the ghetto. I grew up in Spanish Harlem in New York City. And had it not been for the love of teachers and educators, I would not be where I am today.
Hi, friend. Are you ready to move into a leadership position? Do you have interests and ambitions that you want to pursue, but feel like you don't know how to take that next step? Maybe you want to start your own coaching or consulting agency. I'm Mel, and I help educators define their career path through correct mindset, knowing your options, and getting prepared for your career transition. I will show you how to level up your leadership skills, share your expertise in a new way, create impact on a larger scale, and put your leadership in motion. As an educator for over 20 years, I started to feel underused and like I had more to give. I knew when the time had come for me to leave the classroom and affect change on a larger level. Now, I'm ready to help you determine where your talents and skills mesh with your passions and interests. Put your leadership in motion and move into that next phase of your educational career journey. Let me help you define your career path by having the right mindset, knowing your options, and getting prepared for that next leadership position. So power up and put your leadership in motion. Welcome to the show, everyone. I'm your host, Dr. Mel Vandevort, and I have with me today, I have Dr. David Johnson, and David is coming to us from San Antonio, Texas. We were talking before, my son actually went to his basic training. He was in the Air Force, and he was on Lackland Air Force Base. So I've actually been to San Antonio. It's really cool. We went on the Riverwalk. We went and saw the Alamo. It's a really cool little area down there where he was at. So welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me as your guest. I'm sure we'll have a spirited conversation.
Exactly. We will, definitely. So David, tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us about your journey. Just tell us all about how you got to where you are right now as an educational leader.
Perhaps the most important thing to know is I am a poor Black boy from the ghetto. I grew up in Spanish Harlem in New York City. And had it not been for the love of teachers and educators, I would not be where I am today. They recognized some talents and helped me attend college. Both my brother and I are first generation college students. I attended the State University College at Potsdam, New York, where I learned to be a music teacher. And I began my career teaching general music. I had band, I had chorus, I had classroom music. And in New York State, my home state, one is required to complete a master's degree within 5 years of beginning his career. And because I'm a poor Black boy from the ghetto, I couldn't afford to pay for the master's degree. And that led me to join the Air Force for the educational benefits the military offered. I spent 8-9 years active duty. The Air Force was very, very good to me and helped pay for 2 master's degrees. And when I separated from active duty Air Force, I became a reservist and attended Indiana University, where I earned a doctorate. And because I had the 2 master's degrees, I was able to have 2 majors. I studied educational administration and also music education.
So and you did your master's degrees at the same time?
No.
Okay. Because I actually did do 2 at the same time. I started 1 and then I decided I knew they were going to change some things here in Missouri. And so I'm like, okay, I think I'm going to go ahead and start my master's for administration. Uh-huh. And so I finished up in instructional technology and started an administration one all at the same time. So it was double duty. It was pretty rough there for a little while.
So you're a glutton for pain.
You know it. Actually, I'm just going to say I'm resilient and I can do it.
I understand that. I understand that completely. No, I did them in 2 different times. One was back at my original alma mater, and it's a master of music. Mm-hmm. And then the second master's degree was in secondary administration. And that was in South Dakota when I was still active duty Air Force. And then I attended Indiana University in Bloomington. And after completing that program, I continued to work as an educator, administrator, and adjunct professor, and all these other things in Indiana. I married an Air Force woman who remained in the Air Force, and eventually she got an assignment to San Antonio, Texas, and I followed her. And I mentioned I was a reservist. I was activated after 9/11, served another 10 years active duty, and went all over the world, including Iraq, and finally came home and continued my first calling, which is education. And that's when I also began seriously considering launching my own business. And now I have an educational consultancy called Transform Ed Consulting.
And I was honored to be a guest on your show
Yes.
a few weeks ago, and it was a great conversation. And you made me think. You really stretched my thinking big time. And so it was good. It was good, though. So I really enjoyed it. So I appreciate that.
Thank you.
So hopefully my brain will be a little less stretched today, and I'll let you do the talking today.
Well, that's the skills that we bring from our doctoral programs, critical thinking and helping people think deeper than they ordinarily would not do.
Exactly. Wonderful. So keep going. Tell us more about yourself. I'm really anxious to hear your journey and how you got to where you are. What led you to starting your own consultancy? First of all, what led you into administration? Then what led you into starting your own consultancy?
Ironically, I was listening to another of your podcasts with our colleague Tanya, and she spoke about people recognizing her leadership abilities or her leadership talents while she was still a teacher, and then people encouraging her to pursue educational leadership. Perhaps at the root of anyone's encouragement to go beyond where he or she started is the desire to make a difference. When I started teaching, I knew I wanted to be an administrator because I wanted to make a difference. I wanted to have a larger impact than with the 30 students I might have in a given classroom. And I believe that as you become an administrator and as you become a leader, you're broadening the range or sphere of influence that you would have. Instead of being responsible for a single classroom, you're responsible for a building. Instead of being responsible for a building, you're responsible for a program. Instead of being responsible for a program, you're responsible for an entire school district, or maybe even a state or even a federal government. So it's your desire to expand your influence.
And I agree with that. And if you're in a classroom and you're starting to think about some of the bigger changes, then that might be your cue to start thinking about a leadership role. Even if you start in the classroom being a leader, which everybody in a classroom is a leader in some aspect, but if you're really wanting to take your influence outside or your impact outside of your own classroom, if you're starting to think that way, then you might be geared toward a leadership role, and you need to start really pursuing that and talking to anybody who can help you determine what your next step should be.
You know, and a thought also arising from listening to your podcast with Tanya is the desire to help others and not just help students, but help teachers. You know, we use the term servant leadership. When you're a leader, it's not about you, it's about the people that are working with you, and you're helping them be better at whatever it is they do, whether it's mopping, whether it's teaching a kindergarten classroom, whether it's washing cars, you're helping them be better at what they do. You're giving them the tools, you're giving them the training, the support that they would need to be good, if not better, at what they do.
And you're probably thinking in one specific area. My focus, or where I really wanted to make the biggest impact, was professional learning. And I saw how ineffective it can be and how there is a better way to do it. And so that was really my catalyst for moving into leadership. So what exactly sparked your desire to start that transition into leadership? Was there one single thing?
Probably not one single thing, or perhaps an accumulation of things. But I can tell you right now, my personal mission is to ensure the educational opportunities I had as a young person are available to young people today. As a matter of fact, there's a story I tell on a regular basis, and it's emblematic of the kinds of experiences I had. My guidance counselor in high school, she, her husband, and their infant child drove me to my college interview. Again, I grew up in Spanish Harlem, New York City, and the college I attended where I had the interview was Potsdam, New York. And that's 8 hours away from New York City.
Oh my goodness.
They drove me to my college interview. How do we ensure those kinds of opportunities are available right. to young people today? Well, you do that by advocating, by participating, by investing yourself, your efforts into programs and projects that are aimed at helping kids like me.
Yes, exactly. And finding someone who believes in you and helps you get to where you want to go, helps you accomplish those goals, is almost integral to you accomplishing those goals. It's right. really hard to move forward in any aspect of your life if you don't have support and you don't have someone to network with or collaborate with or help you grow or push your thinking or push you or keep you accountable for one thing.
Well, you know, you and I chatted just a little bit about our societal structure, and you might note that I am a social justice advocate. And if you were to trace my history, you can see why I'm a social justice advocate, because we want to ensure that kids like me, where the system is not necessarily designed to support us or to make it possible for us to succeed, the system's not necessarily designed to do that. We must have advocates, social justice warriors or advocates who will ensure those opportunities are available to young people.
Right. And you struggled. So you took that struggle to get where you wanted to go, and you turned that into maybe even a little bit of a passion. And that was probably part of your motivation for doing what you do, to advocate for those who are where you were and they maybe don't know how to get to where you are now. They need someone to help get them there.
It's funny the way our memories work. I just read an article about memories. But in the way our memories work, we have a tendency to focus on or to downplay the difficulties we may have faced. Mm-hmm. So it's funny to hear you say my struggles, David Johnson's struggles, because I think to myself, well, did I really struggle? Well, I guess I did by some people's definitions. But that's so far behind me now that some of the pain that I might have experienced is not as salient now as it may have been during those early periods.
Right.
Go ahead, please.
When I say struggles, not necessarily just struggle in the way we think, you know, a negative struggle, but challenges, barriers, or things like that. Even just getting to your college interview, that was a challenge or a barrier that could have stopped you from doing what you were really meant to do. And you found a way to work around that. You found someone willing to help you get where you wanted to go. So I see you as an advocate helping other Black students get to where they need to go or where they want to go or where they're meant to go, what they're and fulfill the purpose for which God created them.
Your point is well taken. And we know that indeed, one of the challenges that minority race or low income students face is leaving their neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Leaving their neighborhoods. When I was a young person, I don't know how old I was, maybe still in the single digits. I don't remember exactly. But there were, of course, Big Brother programs. And I had people who were volunteers who would take me to museums or take me to this place or that place that I might not have visited on my own. Mm-hmm. And here's an example. I grew up in New York City, Manhattan, New York City. I never visited the Empire State Building until after I left New York City and went home to visit, goodness. Bringing friends home to visit. And that's when I visited the Empire State Building. And this is not isolated to that period. It continues today where minority race students or low income students don't leave their neighborhoods.
Right.
Now imagine when it comes to attending college. That has been a barrier for educational progress for many minority-based students or low-income students.
Yeah, and I agree with you totally. And I see that here in the St. Louis area too. And just being able to break that cycle and get past what we deem as, and I don't even know how to really say this, but I used to teach or work, not teach, but work, which I was a teacher for students and adults, I guess, but I was in administration, but I was in inner city St. Louis, and I could see where those students, they didn't see past where they were. They only saw their world. They were siloed in their own reality, and they didn't really always see past that. There were a few students that could see past that, but we want all of our students and our teachers to see that. We want to train our teachers to help our students see that and move past. And that's no matter where you are. I'm from rural Missouri, and you know, for the longest time, I didn't see past what was right in front of me because I was young and I didn't necessarily know how to see past that. So we have to really make sure that we are teaching our students what's out there, not just what's right here in front of you. What there is a whole wide world of opportunity out there. Where do you fit in that?
Anecdotally, New York City. Imagine I'm in New York City and I'll say, oh, I'm attending college. Oh, where do you go to school? I attend SUNY Potsdam. And they'll say, well, where is that? I'll say upstate. Well, you mean like Poughkeepsie? Poughkeepsie is like 50 miles, not even 50 miles away from Manhattan.
Right.
but that's an example of the limits that people have as a result of their background. When you consider, I would explain to people that Potsdam is 30 miles away from Canada. It's mind blowing. It's mind blowing.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, I imagine.
I mean, these are New York State people who don't know the rest of the state. Right. Because of the kinds of circumstances in which we grew up.
Exactly. Exactly. So now you have your own educational consultancy. Give us a little bit about that. Tell us like how that came about and what your focus is with that.
Interestingly, you would ask about that. Well, you heard my story, my journey, the different degrees and the different life experiences and professional experiences I have had. I know a little about a lot. And I am at an age, I am in a place in life where I want to ensure that, as I said, my personal mission, ensure opportunities I had as a young person are available to young people today. And I do that with my consultancy. I am committed to using my skills, my knowledge, my abilities to ensure those opportunities are available to young people. I look at the list of services that Transform Ed Consulting offers, and I pull from not only my education, but the things that I learned in the military. I spent a total of 35 years associated with the military between active duty and reserve duty. And now compare that with the 4 degrees that I have. I was a classroom music teacher and then became a professor, became a consultant, became a administrator. I've done all these different things. So I'm at a place where I must give back to others to ensure opportunities are available to young people as they were for me.
Wonderful. And I love that you took all of your experience that you gained all of your life and you translated that. You took all of your skills from the military, from your educational career, and you translated that into something that you could make an impact and further education in some way. So that is a great story. I love it. David, it's exciting to have you on the show. We are getting very close on time right now. David, it has been wonderful having you on the show. Tell our audience how they can connect with you.
Well, you can find me, David E. Johnson, on LinkedIn, and you can find Transform Ed Consulting, both in LinkedIn and on the internet in general. Transform Ed, and that's a play on words. It looks like transformed, but there's a capital E at the end. Transform Ed Consulting. We have a website, and you can find us on the internet, or you can find me and Transform Ed within LinkedIn. Everything wonderful. Good is happening in LinkedIn, right? Oh,
I know. I'm loving LinkedIn here lately. I'm really finding a lot of value for my own growth. And I'm hoping that I'm putting some things out there to help others grow. And for all of you, I will have all of David's contact information in the show notes so you won't have any trouble connecting with him. David, it has been a pleasure having you on the show.
Likewise. It's fun chatting with you.
Thanks so much. And for the rest of you, I will see you back here next week. Bye-bye.